Scott Spears back with you here. The 9th anniversary celebration of WGH Radio. WGH went on the air in 2014, June the 11th, 2014. And of course, because June the 11th is on a Sunday this year, we are celebrating it today with a lot of great people who have made this station a bigger, better place over the last 9 years and have kept it around for 9 years. Sean Kraft, Bob Welsh, Pastor Craig, Nate's here, Linda's here, and we're having a great time reminiscing about... Now, see, all week it's reminiscing, right? I don't want to say reminiscing or something. Reminiscing, right, Bob?
Reminiscing.
And that's what we're doing here tonight, and we've got Nate and Pastor Craig at the microphones. And I do want to mention two things that popped up in my mind before we get to Pastor Craig and Nate, how they joined the station and their time here doing things. Was Gallagher came here. The late comedian Gallagher was here for a week, maybe a week and a half, back in 2017. And we did a show. We came in late at night, like 8 to 10 every night. It was during the Popcorn Festival, and Gallagher, we did the super terrific Whiz Bang Gallagher show, and it was a lot of fun. He was always fun to be around, and we had a lot of fun with Gallagher. And the Geraldo Journal. The Geraldo Journal was one of my favorite things that we ever did. And I'll try to condense this, because people to this day still think that was planned, and it really wasn't. Was one day I realized that Geraldo was living in Cleveland, Ohio, doing a radio show up there, and I'd had them all on, Phil Donahue and Jerry Springer and that whole bunch, Dick Cavett. I thought, well, I need to get Geraldo on the show, so every day I would try to get Geraldo on the show. Thunderbolt Patterson, Ted Williams, Sam Donaldson were all trying to help me get him on. And what made this so great, it was not planned. The week of Christmas, I think I started it in September. The week of Christmas, I got a call from his wife that Geraldo's on vacation and maybe he'll call in on Christmas Eve. Didn't tell anybody about it because I wasn't sure he was going to call in. It ended up being, Christmas Eve ended up being the 100th day of the Geraldo Journal. So I'm thinking, could this be any more perfect? It's a little after 12. It's our last hour before we break for the holiday. It's Christmas Eve. Geraldo calls in. I did not say anything to him except, Geraldo, you there? Okay, we're going on in 30 seconds. I put him on. I came on and gave this huge introduction because nobody knew he was coming on that day. And I say, after 100 days of begging and pleading, the Geraldo Journal will finally come to an end because for the first time here on this station, I finally get to say these words, Geraldo Rivera. And I flip up the microphone and he goes, Scott, I've been trying to find you for 100 days. Where you been? And I thought that was perfect. That was just perfect. So those are two things that I remember that we did and had a lot of fun with. All right, Nate, how did you come on board with Offbeat News and Trivia on Wednesdays? And then it morphed into a whole other show, which we'll get into that in a second because there's a conspiracy involved with that other show that you did. So we're going to get, because Pastor Craig's involved in that. But tell us about Offbeat News and Trivia. What year was it and what happened?
Okay. It was April of 2019 when I kicked off that show. And what had happened was I had... Scott got a hold of me and said, hey, would you care to fill in for Charlie? I'm like, yeah, I'd love to fill in for Charlie, because it had been a long time since I'd done radio. And so I said, sure, I'll give it a shot. So I showed up one Friday when Charlie was doing 1 to 3, I believe.
1 to 3 Friday. On Fridays, yes.
And so I filled in for the Charlie Ever Show and just did trivia. And we talked to a lot of listeners that day. We gave stuff away, had a good time. And so I got to thinking about it. I got a hold of Scott. I said, Scott, what about maybe doing an hour show once a week regularly? And Scott says, I think we can manage that. So we went back and forth and finally settled on a time. And we settled on Wednesday afternoons starting at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5. So that's when we started the show. April the 3rd, 2019.
Wow, you got the date. That's
yes,
great.
April the 3rd.
And it ran for how many years?
It ran for just over 3 years, I do believe.
3 years.
Yep.
And you had your own little group there. A lot of people who, again, are no longer with us. Bob Austin.
Oh.
Used
Bob
to call
was
in and tell you what
yep.
he was eating every
Bob,
night.
Bob, yeah, he would tell me what to, I said, Bob, what you cooking? And when Bob was feeling better, you know, he was always cooking up something for his grandkids, whatever, so he'd go into detail. Oh, I'm having a BLT tonight, and whatever, you know, he'd go into detail. And then later on, when he wasn't feeling so well, somebody else would do the cooking, so I said, well, Bob, what are they cooking for you? And he always knew.
He did. And Bob was a great listener. And that's another thing, the listeners of this station, and I hate to do that. I'm going to try to run through them here because we have regulars. Bob Austin certainly was one. Ted Jolliffe, Ted and Carol Jolliffe, John and Carolyn Heimlich, Judy Summers, Trish Franklin, Ryan, and Sarah Berg. Oh, you and Sarah did duets on the air.
We did.
I always like to bring this up because Sarah calls my show quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
But we've never gotten into a duet like you and Sarah used to do. So
no.
I've always wondered. Sean has it with the 90-year-old women. Now you and the bus drivers, I guess, is what was going on. Duets with the bus drivers.
Yeah. Well, one time it was a trivia question about a song, and I don't know if I had begun to sing a snippet of it, and so Sarah called and says, no, it goes like this, and she started singing. Well, I decided to join her, so we just ended up doing a little bit more than what I had planned on, you know. So we just sang the song on the air, and it was a Christmas tune, one of those ones they always play. I forget exactly which one. Sarah would probably be able to tell you exactly which one it was, but anyway, so next time you hear from Scott, Scott's like, what? I'm listening to Scott's show. Scott's like, what's this about you and duets on the air? Sarah never treats me like that.
Well, and that's, I couldn't, I was driving down the road, and I about swerved into a telephone pole because I thought, what kind of, it's like Donnie and Marie were on the air all of a sudden. I thought, what is that? Now, in the 3 years you did that show, what was your favorite moment? Did you have a favorite call? Or being on during the pandemic became tough because you were a giveaway show.
Yeah, oh, it was. Yep, and so I didn't know what we were going to do about that. Were we still going to do our shows? And Scott said, hey, you know what? You're covered. You're a journalist. You know, you're covered under that. So just keep on showing up. As long as you feel comfortable. So I said, yeah, I'm going to keep on coming in. Well, we were in the Ohio Health Building.
That was a good place to be during the pandemic.
It was, wasn't it?
It was.
So we'd walk in, and buddy, you better have your mask on, because those women coming out of there was looking at you to make sure your mask was up and not down on your nose either. Because if it was down on your nose, they'd be like, push it up. So you'd have to really watch going past the Ohio Health area. So you better get on that elevator and get upstairs if you wanted to pull that mask down.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that honestly, that pandemic, to be on the air during that time when that happened, because it was so unexpected, and I don't think there's ever been a thing in this country that affected everybody. You know, wars happen and elections happen, and we get involved and we might have opinions. That affected everybody. I remember Sunday night before coming in to do that Monday program, nobody knew that was going to happen. On Friday, all of a sudden, everything shut down. And I remember driving down Center Street. There was no traffic. Nobody was out. There was nobody parked anywhere. Came into the studio. You didn't know what to do. In the beginning, we weren't wearing masks. Did you Lysol everything? Would guests come in? And, you know, at that time, we had Ohio Health on. We had Dr. Euline on. We had the mayor on. Nobody knew what was going on. It was all uncharted territory. That first week of the pandemic was a big, big thing.
It was. I always carried hand sanitizer with me because I'm like, oh, man, I mean, exactly, you know, what's going on with this? Because, you know, I'd have different people and listeners say, oh, this is bad, this is real bad, and of course, you know, it was for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people lost close family members during that period of time, you know, so it was really bad for a lot of people. And so, you know, and I thought, how am I going to fit in, you know, when we're such a serious time, and I'm going to get on here and just give away trivia and have a big time, everything's fine, everything's, so I thought, well, I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing and just see if this works. I thought maybe nobody will call. Well, I just went through the pandemic and just kept doing. I said, okay, what we'll do is we'll go to a mail-in. That's where I started to mail out my gift certificates so folks wouldn't have to come to the studio. So I thought we'll go into a mail-in system with gift cards. So we did that, and the calls kept coming. I'm like, well, people are still into this, so I guess we're going to. So I would keep my talk down about the pandemic because there was so much talk everywhere else. So I would try to keep my talk about the pandemic on the down low. If somebody wanted to talk about it, of course we'd talk about it, you know. Me and Ernie would have great conversations about, you know, his opinion or what have you. And we just rolled right through it and got right through it, and the show got through it, and it was just one of those things.
Favorite moment?
Favorite all-time moment. Let's see. Well, I'll give you one.
Glenn Coble, during the time of the pandemic, before we move away, used to come in every program and Lysol the soundboard. And you really should not Lysol the soundboard, but Glenn liked to do that. And ever since then, there are certain lights that don't work and lights that don't shut off. And then when the pandemic kind of got a little less, then he started to Lysol Terry, which we all appreciated because we thought that should have been done years before. So, favorite moment.
Favorite moment. Okay, this was the first time it happened. Now Terry was my key holder for the Ohio Health Building.
Yeah, that's a good way to go.
He was the key holder for a while. You know, he let me into the studio, and then he would just hang out, you know. And so we had a door that would close between the two rooms at the Ohio Health Building. Well, one time I was on the air doing the show, and there weren't many breaks in the show, so I really couldn't move from where I was at. Well, somehow the door had come open. Well, Terry was out there with a full-on nap. I mean, he was snoring to beat the band. He was snoring like crazy. And that door just kept edging further and further open. And the further open it went, the louder the snoring got. I'm like, oh, this has got to be picking up on this microphone. Sure enough, one of the callers called in and said, is somebody sleeping there? I said, yes, but fortunately it's not me, so we can still do the show.
Terry's got a snore.
Oh, boy.
He's got a snore.
He can snore.
Yes, he can.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Pastor Craig, how did you find the station?
How I found the station was I had previously, for about 4 years before, had my messages that I'd given in the church that I'd had in Mount Gilead. They were pre-recorded, and they were 26 minutes, and I'd had them on various stations, Ohio, Florida, Pennsylvania, where you buy radio time to play your message. And I was, you know, most of these stations, they have, you know, 75% are nationally known pastors, and then the other 25% are local guys. So that's how I got my messages out. Well, I was talking to a pastor here in Marion, and he says, oh, hey, there's this great radio station, WWGH, and he told me about it. So that was when I came down and saw you and Terry, and it was kind of funny because I'm still thinking inside the box, you know, a pre-recorded message of 26 minutes, and, you know, Terry looks at me and he goes, you want to do 1 hour or you want to do 2 hours? And I'm like, well, I hadn't really thought about it, but I guess I'd start out with an hour. And, you know, and so I was talking to you, and I walked away from there thinking, wow, I mean, this is totally different for me. I mean, I can talk live and play a recorded message and have guests because I'd been listening to your show. So I'm thinking, wow. So, you know, that night I got all these ideas running through my head. So that was how I came aboard. On April 18th, 2021.
April must be a time when we launch shows.
It must be.
April 3rd and April 18th. Now, what's your favorite memory? Now, I remember the show you did with Glenn Coble, because Glenn, by his own admission, a devout atheist,
yes,
came on, and you guys had a very interesting conversation. And I think Glenn appreciated that conversation as well. So, and Glenn's not here tonight, by the way, because his grandson graduated, I believe, out of state, and I believe that's where he is. So, Glenn, you know, we certainly miss you here tonight. But that was a great show. That was one of my favorite. What was your favorite?
I have two. I really do. Yeah. And with Glenn, that was one. The other one was the very first interview I did, and it was the like 6 weeks into my show, and it was the Sunday of Memorial Day. And I had on there a retired four-star general from the United States Air Force. As a matter of fact, she had just a few months earlier retired from the Air Force, and she was one of only five women that have ever been a four-star general for the Air Force. And it was especially nice because we talked about, you know, how her, you know, being a Christian and then being in the military, how those two things work together. And, you know, at one point when I asked her about, you know, Memorial Day, what it meant to her, and I was caught totally off guard. She started telling me a story about what it meant to her, and, you know, she became very emotional on it, telling the story. So that was a great show. But, you know, the one with Glenn was also a great show because I have the philosophy that, you know, I'm not having this show as a Christian to debate an atheist, because we're not going to get anywhere in that 45 minutes. We're just not going to get anywhere. And so, you know, to me, the best thing I can do with an atheist is get to know them as a person. So I brought Glenn on, and, you know, and so we talked about it, and I, you know, tell us your story. And, you know, he told us his story and, you know, all the changes he'd gone through in his life and the reasons that he believed. And we had a really nice discussion. And it was really kind of interesting because on my Sunday show, that was the only negative emails that I got, was that show, because people felt I didn't stand up for Christianity and I was too soft on Glenn. But what people didn't understand was that was on purpose, because I wanted our audience to get to know Glenn as a person. I wanted to get to know Glenn as a person. Like I said, it wasn't about a Christian debating an atheist.
What I thought was great about that show was there was a little apprehension, I think, on your behalf and on his behalf about doing it, knowing that there was such a conflicting point of view, but it turned out great, and I remember the relief on both sides when it was done and how good that it had turned out. You know, another thing I want to mention here, one thing Sean and I did was I did the first broadcast from the MCI, the Marion Correctional Institution, that had never been done before, and you were there during that occasion, and that was very, very, that was the high security, and I think we did interview murderers, because we just could not ask them about their crime, and we could not ask their name, but we did get to interview them in the choir, and I remember what was so strange about that, they were doing Les Mis. These prisoners were doing Les Mis, which is about being imprisoned, and it's in Latin, and they were doing it and singing it, and boy, I'll never forget going in the prison to do that. Dad, do you have a memory of the prison?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It was kind of scary going in there.
Well, and there was no security. I think we had one person there, but it was, I'll never forget going in the prison that day. That was a memory. Now, as far as the anniversary parties and Christmas parties and things like that go, what are your memories from those events?
Well,
before we get to the conspiracy.
Actually, I have a memory from the first fruitcake toss.
Oh, the fruitcake toss.
I have a little bit more to add to your story.
Oh, go right ahead.
So you were emceeing it, but you also were going to throw.
Right.
And so you were emceeing it, and I was kind of hanging out with Glenn, and he's standing there. He's got his drink in his hand, and I could tell that I assumed he had drank before he'd come to the fruitcake toss, and I didn't really know what he was drinking. So when you were going to throw the fruitcake, you asked Glenn to emcee for you. So he turns to me, and he says, "Hold my drink." So I'm standing there, and I hold his drink, and I could smell it. And it smelled like alcohol. And I thought, oh, this is great. Here we are at the fruitcake toss. And Pastor Craig, is standing there with an alcoholic drink in his hand. Because if I could smell it, I'm sure other people could too.
That's true. That's a good memory to have. Nate, what are your memories from those events?
Well, Santa Claus had come to visit, and Santa Claus was coming up and doing this thing. Well, you had turned to give Santa Claus something or other, and Santa Claus was standing too close. And you turned around, and Santa Claus...
I do remember that.
Yes. Santa Claus got hit real close.
Yeah, Sean, do you remember when Santa Claus came, and I turned around, and Santa Claus... There were no little children anymore in the Santa Claus family.
Yeah, I remember that really well.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago.
Yes.
Well, it was an anonymous... I think it was a fruitcake.
Yeah, it was a Claxton fruitcake.
Well, hospital that night.
It's lucky.
You know, that whole Claxton fruitcake thing turned into such a fun event, and it all started by, and I truly hate the fruitcakes. I mean, I really would not eat one. They're horrible. They're terrible. They're just disasters. And the at that time, it was a Civitan club that used to put them in all the banks around town, and people got angry because I was downing the fruitcakes. They thought it was going to hurt the sales of the fruitcake. And the Civitan Club said, keep talking about them. You're letting people know where they are. And then we ended up with the fruitcake toss, and hey, that lives on. Now we've had former mayors in that. We've had the police chief. We've had the prosecutor. We've had so many people in the fruitcake toss. So it's a fun event.
We have the former champion here.
And we got the former champion here. Who won the first time?
Oh, it was that young guy.
Yes. That young guy. My goodness. He threw that thing 80 foot.
Yeah.
I still don't know how he did that. That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was in the neighbor's yard.
Nobody even came close. I mean, we had Big Mike out there who weighed 550 pounds. We had Santa Claus. We had some heavy hitters out there. And this kid who probably weighed 100 pounds comes up and throws that thing like nobody's business. I still don't know how he did. And by the way, he worked at Donato's.
No.
And Donato's is our supporter tonight of this program. Check out their rewards program. We thank them for doing that. But, you know, I always enjoy the Christmas parties because the singing is beautiful.
It's at least a joyful noise, right, Pastor Craig?
That's right. And we are getting to know some of the songs a little bit better.
Have we not got the wassailing song down? We added that one a few years ago, and boy, we can really whip that one up.
I think that one's coming together. It's...
We still don't do hippo very well.
Hippo just kind of tanks every year. But I think our listeners will come to appreciate the hippo song and the way that we do it.
Yeah, I think they do. And I think, you know, there is a family atmosphere at those events, even though we're usually never all here together because we're doing shows at different times. When these events like tonight and those events happen, everybody, I don't think there's ever been an argument or a falling out at any of those events. And that is what I've always found nice about this station, because the stations I've worked at, I'm telling you, people went in their offices and closed doors and nobody talked to each other, and that never has been the case here.
Yeah, everybody stays pretty friendly, and if you look at it, hey, two former WGH Talk employees are with you tonight on the microphone.
Exactly.
Here. So that shows you that it can't be too bad if you got...
that's such a horrible... Now, let's get to the conspiracy.
Okay.
All right. Because we had a conspiracy here in the 9 years we've been on the air. Now, I was not a part of any of this.
Nope.
I don't think I was a part of this.
Nope. Scott had nothing to do with it.
So you had a show at 5 o'clock on Wednesdays.
Yeah, we decided to start this show... Actually... Terry decided to start this show. One day he came and said to me, hey, you want to stay on the air for an extra hour? I said, well, yeah, I guess, can, sure. So from 5 to 6, he and I went on the air. So then the next week after that, he said, well, you want to do it again? I said, sure. So I said, hey, you know, why not get Pastor Craig in on this? Actually, I think he said, let's get Pastor Craig in on this.
And
let's.
You called me, and we made it that second week.
We called Pastor Craig up, and Pastor Craig became a part of it. And eventually, it became The Show with No Name. Later on, Live at 5, The Show with No Name. And so, we started doing this for several weeks. And we all...
Conversation show.
Yeah, just a conversation show.
Talked about what we did that weekend, where we went, talked about food. We just talked about anything.
Totally unscripted. I mean, you know, we just went flying by the seat of our pants, as you'd say, and had a lot of fun doing that. Well, one week, I don't know what was going on, But someone who should remain nameless, as you can probably figure out who it is, was a little late for the show.
I can't imagine.
Can't imagine who. Pastor Craig and I were sitting here, and we hear a thump, thump, thump at the door. And I'm like, okay, somebody's trying to get in here. So I go to the door and I pull it open. Well, the door was having some trouble sticking at that time. So it was you had to turn the door in. I mean, you really had to shove the door to get it open. Well, this person was on the other side of the door. And he comes in and he was not happy at all. He comes on the air and rips us a new one.
No, he did. He came right on the air.
Came right on the air. Didn't he, Pastor Craig?
That show. Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, somebody's locked me out.
Yes, somebody's locking me out. Why would we lock him out?
We're trying to do a live radio.
This is on the air.
Yeah, we are on the air.
He's interrogating you right on the air.
Interrogating us is a good word.
So I want to get this on the record.
And he says, I don't appreciate it. And I was like.
Yeah, Pastor Craig's sitting there like, what?
I said the person's name. I said, we wouldn't lock you out. He said, well, somebody tried to lock me out.
Somebody tried to lock me out.
The door. And I
somebody
said,
did.
And I said, well, the door's kind of sticking.
He goes, somebody tried to lock me out. Why would you guys lock me out?
Why would we lock you out? You know, you're part of the show.
Wait, but that was riveting radio right there.
I'm sure everybody just really cared about that.
The thing of it was, it went on
for about 15, 20 minutes,
yeah,
didn't it?
I tried changing the subject a couple of different times.
It was right back to it.
Eventually got him off track, but we finally
steered it off to a different direction of it, and ended up 20 minutes of nonsense.
And I remember after the show was over and he went outside, I looked at Nate and I go, what a train wreck.
So what did happen? Were you locking him out?
No. What had happened, like I said, the door was sticking. You'd unlock the door, you'd go to get in, come in, and then the door would stick sometimes. It wasn't doing it every time, but, you know, it was kind of sporadic. So it's like, why would we lock you out? You're part of the show. But anyway, so that was one of our little conspiracies that happened during the show with no name.
I did not realize, I'm getting bits and pieces over time, like most conspiracies.
Yes.
I didn't realize he reamed you on the air.
On the air.
Did you know about this, Sean? I did not know anything about this.
It's in the archives.
I had heard about you locking him out. I knew that he had told me about that. And I said, well, I don't think that happened, but he was sure it did.
And then, you know, then half the time, he didn't want to go on the air. Then we had somebody here who really, really, really wanted to go on the air.
Oh, no, that I heard.
And
about.
So...
yeah, so
the show with no name had some drama.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
But don't all panel shows have drama like that?
I gotta tell you
my best memory of that show.
Yeah.
All right. So Nate, as part of his 4 o'clock show, he would in the last 10 minutes do a weird word of the week. Well, that particular Wednesday, I'd gotten here half hour into Nate's show. So I was just sitting here and listening to Nate, and we talked a couple times on the air. So his weird word of the week that day was frowsy. And he says, frowsy means dirty or untidy. And then Nate even said, you can go back and listen to it on the archives, March 2nd, 2022. Nate said, you could probably use that word on somebody and they'd have no idea what you were saying. Well, I happened to look back at this unnamed person, and he was back there in that room. He was playing on his phone. He wasn't listening to the show.
So why would he do that?
Yeah. He was just playing on his phone. So you ended your show, Nate. And then we came on live at 5.
Show with no name.
And Nate makes the introductions and said hi to everybody and said, both you guys work today. And we both go, yeah. And he goes, but you look good in your work clothes. And so I reached over and touched Terry on the shoulder and I said, Terry, I gotta tell you, you're really looking frowsy today. Well, Nate starts laughing. And Terry doesn't miss a beat because he has no idea what I've said to him. He says, well, is there any other way to come here?
Well, there you go.
And so you laughed again. I'm busting up laughing. And so then, Terry, you know, Nate's laughing. I'm laughing. Terry goes, "Hey, I do what I do best."
And, oh.
And I just, at that point, I just lost it. And so Nate, he true professional, he says, "So, Terry, tell me about your weekend." I'm still rolling on the floor laughing.
It was a funny moment. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with the station. We've had a lot of fun.
Now, Linda, has anybody ever reamed you on the air like this? Never in 9 years. No, I did. Gosh, Sean, have you ever heard of such a thing? I didn't know that even went on. I would hear reports from that show from time to time.
I just want to say that as the producer for the show, I take the blame for the whole thing. You know, I just
do. Well, but I mean, how can you take the blame for the door sticking?
Well, I don't know. I'll just take the blame.
I mean, listen, it's one of those things that clearly tempers were running high at that point for some reason.
They were running high.
And it just made for interesting radio, I guess.
It came right over our airwaves. And so maybe some folks, but they probably found it hilarious. I don't know. Although we got some emails.
We got some negative emails.
We did get some negative emails about it. Pastor Craig did.
Yeah. I can believe that sounds like a rough event.
Yeah.
Now, Bob Walsh is with us. Bob, now tell how you became involved here with the station, because you now have become part of a lot of our traditions. You've been here to the Christmas party, and I don't know how, we got to recount some of these specialty pizzas that have happened over the last 9 years. Now, how did it come? I know how it came about, but how did it come about? You became involved.
Well, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. I got a message on my machine, and I go, "This guy's nuts."
You've written a book.
I'd written a book.
I found the book
35 years ago, and somebody finally wanted to call and talk about it, and I said, "Nah." Yeah. And
you were apprehensive, I remember.
I was apprehensive, and you had to talk me into coming in to talk about it, and I said, "Well, people didn't want to talk about it 35 years ago. Why do you want to talk about it now?"
Now, it was the story of a pizza business here in town. And what was so intriguing about this book was it had happened in Marion, and there was a lot of carnage in this book. I mean, there was thievery, and there was injury, and it was a very honest book.
And it was a true story. And
story of the Great Race Pizza Shop.
Great Race Pizza Shop there, and... You know, so we came on about it, and my buddy Eric, who was also in the book and everything, and we talked about it for a while, and you kept calling us back. And we got to change the subject. We can't keep talking about this. And so
we gave away a lot of books, though. I remember people wanted the book, yeah. And we gave away a lot of books.
And apparently, it's still available at the Marion Historical Society, the bookstore there. I think they just got a new shipment in, so it's going fast.
And the titles is?
Three Pies Hot.
Three Pies Hot. Now, but then it came to be that you'd create specialty pizzas for certain days here at the station.
Right. We wanted to get you onto a new topic other than just pizza, so we went, you know, weird pizza. And so we did a Halloween pizza, pumpkin pizza. And then
Thanksgiving, the turkey pizza.
Then I kind of mentioned, you can stuff a turkey with a pizza, and you said no.
No, I said that can't happen.
It can't happen, and it did. I came in to the studio kitchens here and cooked a turkey stuffed with a pizza.
On Thanksgiving Eve.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I believe Glenn said it was the best turkey he ever had.
Glenn thought it was great. He might have been drunk that day. I don't really know, but he loved it.
I don't think he was drinking that early, but it could have been.
He likes to have a few eye-openers before he came in those days.
Maybe.
But we did that, and then the fruitcake pizza, which was about $75 to order a fruitcake pizza.
Fruitcake pizza, which you did sample.
And I did.
I have film of that if anybody wants it.
Yeah, that was delicious.
$10 for an 8x10.
And then we did, what was the last one we did? Oh, the groundhog pizza.
We did 2 years in a row we did groundhog pizza.
We did groundhog pizza. Yeah. Then the Upper Crust Society started.
That's right.
Now there are four members of this.
There are four members of the Upper Crust Society. Because I remember you were talking on our radio one day, unusually. And
Can't imagine.
And you were bemoaning the fact that you went up to Tony Paco's with Ted Williams and I forget who else.
Buckeye guy.
And they were asked to sign a hot dog bun. But you weren't.
I thought that was terrible.
It was terrible.
That was very bad manners.
And I thought, well, you know, we can't overlook the slight. You know, and so I said, well, we'll have Scott sign a pizza crust. And so we I baked a pizza and
a real pizza crust.
A real pizza.
Yep.
Just crust, no cheese or anything else, and had you sign it, and you became the first inductee into the Upper Crust Society.
And then year two, we did three inductees.
Year two, we expanded it to include Mary Ellen Withrow.
Buckeye Guy
and Georgia Sotis.
And now it's a thing.
And actually, you know, I get people asking me, you know, how do I get into the Upper Crest Society? I want to be there. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding.
It's very high standards. Yeah. Now, and also, tonight you brought a commemorative anniversary pizza, correct, which everybody here has signed tonight. So that's going to be...
I hope so. I don't know if... I haven't checked yet, but everybody should sign it if they haven't already.
Yes. And this... What will happen with this pizza crust?
This one we're going to slack as well, and... I think this one's going to end up hanging in here.
Now, you did top our... Now, one of our favorite... You topped our tree with a pizza crust star.
Yeah, 2 years ago,
yes,
we made a star for the top of the tree there out of pizza crust, WWGH, and it was a pretty nice-looking star, I thought, and hung on top of the tree there, and then it got put away for the year. And this year, when we pulled it out... There are some droppings in the box, and some of the arms of the star had been gnarled upon.
Which we didn't know till that morning when we were topping the tree.
And
so it was really sad.
The star barely survived the year. I don't know what condition it'll be in for this year. We might have to come up with a new star.
Well, that whole thing they do at Rockefeller Center pales in comparison to what we do here.
Really?
The day after Thanksgiving when we top that tree with the pizza star and we have the fruitcake pizza. That is a big... And last year there was fruitcake Mountain Dew.
Fruitcake Mountain
Everybody's
Dew.
Everybody's lost their mind.
That's right.
It's a mess. So we've done all those sort of things, and last year you supplied the trophies for the fruitcake toss. And then we did the groundhog thing. Warren Groundhog Hardy. That was Mary Ellen was here. Linda was here. We did a whole thing that morning, and the groundhog ate a piece of pizza, and there were cues under the pizza slices that would let us know if there was going to be 6 more weeks of winter or not.
Yeah, and we had plaques for the listener out there won a trivia contest on the groundhog and got a 3D plaque, and then we had a plaque for the groundhog himself.
Now you and you listen a lot, Bob. Of all that and the things you've listened to, what are some of your favorite moments?
Oh, there are so many. I think my favorite pizza so far has been the carrot cake pizza we did.
That was the best.
That was good. That was good. So if anybody missed that one, it's too bad. It may never come around again.
That was delicious.
Yeah. Looking forward to summer sometime. We're going to have an alligator pizza. Alligator pizza.
now, as a listener, is there something you've heard that sticks out in your mind?
Well, I don't know. There's been so much good activity on everything there.
The one that, you know, when I was thinking about negative response, the one that got I got the most negative feedback on, but it did the most positive thing, was Bill Cosby.
Oh, yeah.
When Bill Cosby came on just out of prison and did his first interview, we got national headlines with that, which was great, but some people weren't happy with that. You know, we got some bad feedback about that, but, you know, too bad.
You know, I mean, he had something to say, and maybe we didn't cover all the subjects, but it was topical.
But you know, as I always say, that was agreed upon beforehand, and who would turn that down? You know, Bill Cosby just out of prison, and it did make national news. It was on the front, not only the front page of the Marianne Star, it was in USA Today, Columbus Dispatch, hit the AP wires. It was all over the country, as it was when he appeared again in December. So you know, I think at some point you just have to say, hey, that worked out okay. So, and to have him on the other line, I mean, this is, I don't know if, is there anybody more widely known than Bill Cosby?
Wow. I mean, you know, he has such a backlog of work. You know, his albums, his TV shows, you know, his comedy act for so many years. I mean, he is so widely known.
You know, and I don't want to run through them all, but when you're on the air for 9 years, sometimes I look at the people who've been on the show who are no longer with us, who were like you, Downs, was on a lot. Pat Carroll was on a lot. People like that who are gone. And then people who were also here at the station we've mentioned in hour number one who are no longer with us. And of course, we're thinking about all of them on this particular day as we celebrate the anniversary of the station. But it's been just a tremendous, tremendous amount of fun. And we're down to about the last 8 minutes. So as far as things go on the whole, Bob, what do you think this station, as we continue on in our current format, does and is in this community?
I think it serves the purpose. I mean, it really fills a hole in the community. You know, there is no talk radio anymore. There is no place where you can come and do this and you know, hear, you know, local people, then national people back to back, and you know, getting the message out, you know, of what's happening in the world and different outlooks for everybody. I mean, it's not a one-sided operation. It, you know, everybody gets a chance to speak, and everybody, you know, I think eventually comes here.
You know, I think they all have, and I think it's very interesting. I always say, find a station that has had Jesse Jackson, Al Franken, Madeleine Albright, but also has had Jim Jordan, Phyllis Schlafly, and Roger Stone. And they've all been on at one point or another. And I don't know that there's any station that can make that claim, but I think it's because we have been able to balance things well enough to where people don't know what the political views of this station are, and I think that's important. Now, Linda, being here since the beginning, what do you think the legacy is of all these, of all this 9 years that we've been here? And then we'll get Pastor Craig and Nate and Sean here.
Praise God, I made it off that high chair.
Yeah, you were on the high chair over there.
It's kind of high up there. But I just think that the list of celebrities and old and new and even celebrities, people I consider in our community as celebrities and, you know, in high places and even people who, low places. Remember Miles. I used to have him on
the show.
Oh,
yeah, Rikus Miles.
Rikus Miles, and he was so smart, and has, I thought he really had something going on. Did he rob the bank, remember? Twice.
Robbed the bank and ended up in prison.
Twice, and I come in, and you say, your dude.
Yeah, he's not going to be on anytime soon. You might want to cancel that booking.
Oh, my gosh, and I was so upset about that. I was really hurt by that.
Is he still in prison?
I think so.
Oh, poor man.
I know.
Robbed a bank.
Yeah.
Armed robbery.
Same one, remember? Twice.
Yeah, he did it twice. Well, didn't get him enough the first time, decided to go back for the second swipe.
And you think about that. Like you said, you've done ministry in the you've been in the prison.
I certainly have, yeah.
But there's a lot of people that are very smart.
Oh, they're very smart in the prison.
In the prison.
You know, the one thing I remember about the
dumb
prison, everybody said when you go into the prison, everybody's going to claim that they're innocent. And I'll never forget, you couldn't ask their name and you couldn't ask their crime. But the one moment of that interview, I'll never forget, as I'm asking these two gentlemen, I said, what is, you know, people drive by this prison every day. They see it out here. What is it you want them to know about the people on the inside of the prison? And I'll never forget, the guy said that we did something stupid. We're not stupid.
Right.
That didn't say we're innocent, didn't try to back off the crime, just wanted people to know that they had done something. It was a repentance. And I thought, boy, that's very, very heavy, I thought, coming
it
from
is
the prison.
I'd say mostly everybody's done something stupid
I'd
that
say
they
so
shouldn't have done, you know, just didn't get caught. But
right.
Yeah, that was he was another one of my favorite shows.
Absolutely. Nate, what do you think the long-term legacy is here of the station and the continued legacy that we will continue on with? We're not going anywhere. We'll be on the air tomorrow morning.
Well, one thing's for sure, whenever you tune in, you can count on, if you listen to your show in the morning, you can count on getting the facts. So the station's known on getting the facts plus putting a smile on your face. And to me, those two things are important for a community station. And I just want to say I appreciate that the station has continued on. And I'm glad we are still an effective presence here in the Marion area. Appreciate that very much. And it's always there to listen to. I mentioned when I was on with you, Scott, I was out biking at the Tallgrass Trail. Just in the middle of the path there, sitting on a bench, was a guy with his bike. He was taking a little breather. and he was listening. I heard your voice. And so he was listening to either the station or a rerun on his phone just out in the middle of nowhere. And the beauty of being online, that's the way
you
the
can
cookie
do it.
Crumbles, right. I guess they say.
Don't have to worry about it. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's still great because the people still, I heard that interview. I heard that thing. I heard that person. And that's, you know, that's very, very nice that it's still around.
It is. It is. And 9 years down and another however many to go.
However many to go. Pastor Craig, what do you think? What's the legacy so far and the legacy to come here?
It is the wide variety, and I mean the wide variety of the guests that you've had over the years. And yet, it's not just, you know, interviewing guests. You know, people can listen. You play Family Feud so they can have fun. They can, you know, they get local news every hour. They get a very extensive weather report every hour.
We love our weather here at this station.
No, but I think it's that is your strong point. Is just and really it is a wide variety of interesting guests that you have always had.
Sean, what do you think? What's the legacy?
Oh, geez, everything. You know, from the beginning to the end, and hopefully
not the end.
No, I mean
it hasn't come yet. Till the present.
Yeah, I mean to the present.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know. I think all the interviews and stuff that you've done over the years, and all the, you know, you've done a lot. You've done a lot of the interviews, and I think all the parties and all the memories that we had. I think it's going to stay there forever.
Well, and I want to say, because I said it earlier on in the week, I think on the morning show, but it bears repeating, because people do come up to me a lot, because I think I'm on more than anybody else, and always have been, and they say, boy, isn't that a great station, boy, isn't that great work. Well, the truth of the matter is, one person cannot operate a station alone, and it has been the entire group of people, Linda, and Sean, of course, and Terry, and Adam, and we can kid, you know, Terry, and Adam, and Sean, and everybody like this, and that's what it is, because we are a family in this way, and Linda and Nate and Pastor Craig and Pastor Whitaker and everybody who's came and went over the years. And when I say came and went, I don't mean that in a negative way, because they're always welcome back. We always talk if I see somebody who's been on this station. The guests have been great, so I have always had a lot of support in the things that I've done with this station. You can't do events like the fruitcake toss and the Christmas party and the anniversary party if other people aren't doing things behind the scenes. So you're only as good as the group that you're with, and I've always had the best people to work with, so that's how you become the best outlet in the community, and I think we have done that over and over and over. So I thank everybody who's ever been involved in the last 9 years of this station, and will continue to be involved, and it really has turned into a family in that sense that we all really do like each other. There has been very little strife. I can't remember any, honestly, except for that whole door event that happened that I know over the years. I mean, there has been very little strife. We do not argue with each other. We have fun. We all liked each other. We've always all liked each other, and it could not be a more diverse group. Men, women, ages, everything. But we're all still here, and we're all still having a good time, and we're all still going to continue to have a good time. And to the listeners, by the way, if you weren't there, highly unlikely we would get together and do this. So thank you to every listener who's ever tuned in, who is no longer with us, but who, and the ones who are still with us at this particular point, and the ones that will come, we thank them. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful, yeah, what?
I'm going to say it.
No, you don't wrap up the show. No. Just think some more about falling through that porch. When you go out tonight, don't fall in that hole again. That was a big problem. So for all of us here at WGH Talk, the whole gang that got together tonight, hey, to WGH Talk, to another 9 years.
Another nine years.
All right. Scott Spears, into the dugout. Here we go.
That space heater just didn't do the job. I have my parka on that I wore in the car to come to work this morning. 3 minutes.